Podcast City Network.
Hey, 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 folks. This week, it's just Deary and Andrew. We're recording on the go. So let's hit the road and just have a good time. Welcome to Casual Geeking. So, Deary, what do you want to talk about this week?
I think we should do my favorite subject, Norse mythology.
Oh, sounds like a good time. So, on the topic of Norse mythology, what do you think the most metal thing to happen in Norse mythology is?
There would be two things, I would say. One would be the story of the giant sorcerer and Thor Loki.
Okay.
And the other would be Thor and his conquest over the giants.
Okay.
In the second story, a giant was promised Freya's hand in marriage. Lady Sif's hand in marriage because of her beautiful blonde golden hair and how amazing she was.
Uh-huh.
So, yada yada, there was a bet made between Odin and this giant saying that he could have her hand in marriage if he could do all of these feats.
Uh-huh.
Well, the man made it happen. And, Lady Sif was, she was beautiful, you know.
Uh-huh.
A very busty German woman, by archetype.
Uh-huh.
Long, golden, flowing hair. You know, what man wouldn't be attracted to her?
Yeah.
So, the giant who placed the bet decided to get her hand in marriage. She was delivered to him.
Uh-huh.
In secret, the Asgardian people, the gods, dressed Thor up, because Thor was not about to give up Lady Sif, because she's fine. He's the god of strength and thunder, and bro, no. And he decides to go in her place.
Okay.
As he goes, the giant's tricked, he's drunk, enjoying his wedding ceremony. This is also the first gay marriage story in Norse mythology, although there are a few. Thor gets married to the giant.
Uh-huh.
Gets there at the wedding reception. He calls forth Mjolnir, rips the hair off, and says, "I will smite ye and all of ye kin now."
Sounds good to me.
Because that's not as metal as it gets. Calls forth Mjolnir and sends it through the giant's head.
Oh my.
Yes. And that is metal. That is as metal can get.
Okay. Well, I have a quick question.
Yes.
Siv is the mother of the god that was killed by, not Rosemary,
No, Freya.
No. Freya, okay.
Freya is the goddess who gave birth to Baldur, whose death symbolizes the beginning of Ragnarok, who is only vulnerable to mistletoe.
Mistletoe, that's it. Okay.
And Siv is a daughter of the gods, and Thor's wife, mother to Magni and Modi. Magni being the god of strength, Modi being the god of lightning.
Okay.
A lot of archetypes come off of those two.
Okay.
In later religions.
But, yeah. I don't know how familiar you are with, the Forgotten Realms lore. D&D.
So-so.
Do you know if Baldur's Gate has any relationship to Baldur of Norse mythology?
No. I do know that.
Okay.
That was one of the things I researched about it.
Yeah. That's why I brought it up.
Baldur's Gate is it's loosely based, but I wouldn't say it's really based on him, because it's a warring city. But it's a cause of conflict. Militias are in and out.
Mm-hmm.
But Baldur being the god of war in Norse mythology, but other than that, it's not really got a lot of ties to Norse mythology in that sense. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's not based around him.
Okay, so You were saying the sorcerer of the giants?
Yes. There was a giant that Loki, I think it was Loki, Laufey, and Thor went to see. I think it was Laufey.
Okay.
What had happened in this story specifically, they were on a quest to see this giant enter his kingdom and all of these things. Well, on the way, they meet a giant, and this is more like hair metal storytelling Norse mythology.
Okay.
On the way to meet this giant, they meet a larger giant who terrorizes them and doesn't even think about it, just terrorizes them. It's one of the only giants that Thor tried to slay that he never could.
Huh.
Thor actually got so aggravated at him that he struck his strongest blow into his forehead with Mjolnir.
Okay.
The giant shrugs, quits snoring, wakes up, looks at them and goes, did a tree branch float? Did a leaf fall on my head? Something happened. Wasn't even fazed. The strongest of all the Asgardians, the god of strength himself, smote him as hard as he could and nothing happened. Not a thing. Not nothing. They finally get rid of this guy. They get to this giant's castle, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was Loki, Laufey, and Thor. Well, they get to the castle and they are asking for a night's rest. And the giant says, "How can I trust you? How can I trust you are who you say you are?" And he pits them against tests. Well, Thor has to, has to drink from a chalice.
Okay.
Against an opponent. Or has to try, not against an opponent, has to try to drink the entire chalice. So he tips it up, and he's gulping for a few minutes, and he's trying his hardest. And it just seems like the more he drinks from this chalice, the more flows in, and he just can't get away from it.
Uh-huh.
So he sits it down defeated. Then Loki is next up. Loki gets in a foot race against a real small, wiry guy. And the giant says, if you are truly Loki the trickster, you can surely outrun my kinsman. And Loki takes off, but the longer the race gets, the slower Loki gets, and the faster his opponent seems to get. So after so long, Loki gets tired and can't finish. Gets just beaten.
Mm-hmm.
He's defeated. You know, he just feels defeated. And Laufey, he gains a second challenge, and because he's like, man, that's bullcrap. Like anybody can win a foot race. And Loki goes, and he was like, all right, man, give me another challenge. He says, all right, cool. You guys will eat. You will eat against each other. So Loki sits at the table and devours food over and over and over again for days, just eating. And no matter what he does, the little wiry dude just keeps eating more and more and more and more. And he can't beat it. He gets so close, but he can't beat it.
Mm-hmm.
So Laufey comes up next. No, I'm sorry. Laufey was the one who did the... Laufey was the one who did the eating challenge. I apologize. And then Thor is last up. And he's looking at this giant. And he says, nope, Laufey wrestles the old lady. So Laufey comes up and he says, I bet you I can do anything. I'm a badass, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And Laufey goes, you know, and the giant says, okay. He says, well, you can wrestle against my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
If you can beat my grandmother, if you can get her on bended knee, then you are surely who you say you are, and you can stay the night at my home. And Laufey wrestles and wrestles and wrestles, and nothing he does wins. No point he gains. Every time he feels strong, he gets weaker, and this old lady pins him to the ground, and he is defeated.
Okay.
And Thor comes up, and he is angry. And the giant says, surely you could not be who you say you are. You couldn't even lift my cat. Thor reaches down, grabs the cat, takes the challenge, grabs the cat, and gets its paw off of the ground. That's all he can do. Mm-hmm. The god of strength picks its paw up off the ground. Well, the giant says, "You be travelers, but you are not who you say you are, clearly. So, you may stay, but you will be gone in the morning. You will be gone from me in the morning." Well, the morning comes, they go to leave. The giant, as he's sending him out the door, the castle disappears. All of his lands disappear, all of the things that he had sent forth are gone. And he looks at them and he says, "You must leave now. Like, you are gone, you must not be who you say you are. But let me tell you, things are not as they appear. The cat that you lifted was Jormungandr, the world serpent.
Yes.
The horn that you drank from contained the ocean, and you have sank it for several feet. The race you ran against time, and no man can beat time. The person you ate against was a wildfire, destroying and consuming everything in its path. The old lady that you wrestled with was old age, something that no man has ever beaten or ever will be." So the sorcerer was like, "Hey, I don't want to mess with y'all because I can't take y'all in a straight up fight. Like, y'all will kill me, but I can trick you into leaving." And the sorcerer disappears. The giant, he's just like, "Nope," and he just nopes his way out of there. He's like, "I'm not dealing with you or you or you. I'm out. Bye."
Okay.
It's actually pretty metal. It's like a long Hilded story.
I like that. I'd heard of the trick with Jormungandr being the cat. I've heard that story before. But I hadn't heard any of the others before. I've never heard of Lofi before. Who is Lofi?
Lofi. It's not one of Thor's brothers, but it is an Asgardian.
Okay. Okay.
I forget the name. There's the Azir and the, there's two classes of gods. I just forget what their names are.
Okay. But,
yeah.
So, those are your most metal stories from Norse mythology. My personal favorite isn't so much a story as just the role of one of the gods, and that's, Ratatoskr. His role is to send messages up and down Yggdrasil. And there's an owl at the top of Yggdrasil, and I believe it's not Fenrir.
It's an eagle.
It's an eagle?
It's an eagle.
At the top?
Yeah.
I thought it was an owl.
Yeah. It's the Aesir and the Vanir.
Okay.
Vanir gods are nature-related, magic-based. The Aesir gods are strength and war and violence.
Okay. Is, Lofi one of the Vanir gods?
Yes.
Okay. I forget. I want to say it's Jormungandr that's trapped at the base of Yggdrasil.
Jormungandr wraps himself around Midgard.
Okay. But there's
the
a serpent.
The only thing at the base of Yggdrasil is the Well of Knowledge of the Runes.
Mm-hmm. And there's a serpent that lives there.
I just don't remember the name.
It's the Serpent of Knowledge.
I just don't remember his name.
Yeah. You
know, it's hard. Serpent of Knowledge, you don't know his name. that's genius. This is it?
Showtime Airport? Yes.
I think Mimir has to be one of the most metal characters from Norse mythology.
Honestly. Okay.
Do you know what happened to Mimir?
No, it sounds familiar, but no.
Okay, so a long story, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The Aesir and the Vanir came at war. They came against each other. And Mimir sided against Odin.
Mm-hmm.
He was his most precious advisor, but he sided against Odin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when that happened, Odin wasn't exactly happy about that.
Okay.
So he decided that that wasn't going to happen, and he bound Mimir to the World Tree.
Okay.
Then killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Put his head on his lap in his chair in his throne room.
Mm-hmm.
And revived his head. So Mimir.
I remember. Mimir. It's a different pronunciation than I'm used to.
Yes. M-I-M-I-R.
Yeah. I'm used to it with an O. Momir.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But he was the advisor of the gods, advisor to Odin.
He was the advisor to Odin?
Yeah, he was. He was one of, wasn't a warring advisor. He was a peace talker.
Okay.
He was the initial, he's the one who initially brought peace between the Aesir and the Vanir gods.
Okay.
Because that gets into the creation myth, but basically what happened was Odin was a dick.
Yeah.
Odin is a dick. That's just the way it is. It happens. Like, he's a dick. But he's a god of war. Like, he was the original, like, badass. Like, he possessed Gungnir and Slipnir, his six-legged horse. Like, he is a testament to war in itself. Like, all death is hailed in the name of Odin in Norse mythology. Because Odin is a warrior god. He is not, like, peaceful, you're cool. Like, he is, like, die in battle or I don't fucking care about you. So use my language. But he was a dick. He wanted Freya because Freya had knowledge of natural magic. Because originally the Aesir did not possess magics. They were sword and stone kind of guys. They fought with gilded axe and bloodied handle, like, but the knowledge of the runes, the knowledge that one day he would be more than a conqueror, was what Odin sought. And to be that guy, he needed her magic. So he took Freya as a wife, even though he was kind of a whoremonger, because he wanted to have children, one, and two, he wanted knowledge of her magics. I mean, you know, people do different things, I guess. I don't know how to say that. But
I just remembered the Serpent of Knowledge, and I can't believe I forgot this, is Nidhogg.
Why did I forget that?
But yeah, Ratataskar just goes up and down the tree spreading false information between the two. He'll go up to the eagle and he'll be like, "Yo, Nidhogg, he's talking some mad trash about your mother."
Yeah, he was talking smack, bro. Come handle this. I remember that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's the most metal story from Norse mythology I know. I find it interesting. We were talking about creation myths, and it always starts with a cow, you said.
Yeah, it always starts with a cow.
Yeah.
Actually, it starts with a big block of ice.
Yeah.
But it transitions into a cow.
Yeah.
And then it goes to from cow to giant to people to gods.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, we're going to take an intermission here. We will catch up with you after these words. Thank you for sticking around. I look forward to hearing from you again. Yeah. All right, we'll be right back.